Welcome to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline. I'm your host, Monica Hadley, and from a distance, I'm with my mother, Caroline Kilborn.
Yes, because I am in Iowa, and she is in Texas.
And I'm in Texas, yes. And I am I'm down here for business, and also because my grandchildren are here. And I have a granddaughter who fits with the topic of today's interview very well.
Ah.
Wouldn't you say?
Good.
Yeah.
I would say so, yes. I would say so.
So, Mom, why don't you introduce our guest today?
Okay. Our guest today is, Cheryl Hale. And she is a writer, artist, designer, businesswoman, and mom. Southern born and raised, she loves big hats and Southern cooking. She was inspired to launch her blog and online store after coming across her grandmother Frances's Bible with a letter written in the back that said, "Girl, be brave." So, she is passionate about impacting the lives of women everywhere, and this book is certainly a tribute to that. She now lives in Mobile, Alabama, with her husband and two children, where she chases four dogs and a cat around her garden and continues to share her story. Girl Be Brave is her first book, and I want to say at the outset, everyone should read this book, slowly and mindfully. You will enjoy it.
Girl Be Brave, 100 days.
I have spoken it.
And you got to listen to my mom, you know. She's a great grandma.
Right, that's right.
Girl Be Brave, 100 days to chart your course. So welcome. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with y'all.
Well, we're excited to have you here. So, you know, in your intro that we just read, it talks a little bit about how you got started with Girl Be Brave, but you didn't start out writing a book. How did you start to bring this message from your grandmother to the world?
My grandmother grew up in rural Alabama during the Depression. She had five children, four rowdy boys, and my mom to tag along. Well, my granddad, Ed, left my grandmother back in the 50s when that was not very common. So my mom was raised by a single mom back in a time where there was no social structure to support them. They really, really, really struggled. Fast forward 2016, and my mom has breast cancer. So it's Christmas time, and we're sitting in the kitchen, and I say, "Hey, let's read my grandmother's Bible." Well, in the back, she had written a heart-wrenching letter to her estranged husband and her children, admonishing them to be good people. Well, the very last line said, "Girl, be brave." And I was looking at my mom, and I was like, "Oh, my goodness, your mother is speaking to you from a 60-year-old letter. She's been gone 20 years. And I knew at that moment we were going to do something with this. And so that's when we launched Girl Be Brave as a product line. We went from there, and I'm being an entrepreneur and a mom. I'm always trying to motivate and self-motivate. And I would I put out daily motivational content really based on my own personal life, things that I've gone through, things that I've dealt with. A few years ago, I was having a moment with one of my teenagers, and I was so upset with myself with the way I handled it. Not my best parenting strategy.
We've all been there.
We've all had those days, believe me.
And, you know, you walk away and you go, "Gosh, I acted more like the teenager that time. That was bad." So I was beating myself up the way moms do. And so I had this little voice in my heart, and it was, "You're not at the mercy of your inadequacies." And what I took that to mean, just because I did something wrong or I made a mistake or I was impatient, I'm not at the mercy of those things. There's grace for me. There's grace for my family. Well, as I was moving along trying to develop Girl Be Brave, I was having another one of those days. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to put that out there for people. And I had such a huge response to just that one little tidbit of information that I thought, well, if they like that, I can give more. I've got more where that came from. So it just started developing this motivational content, you know, on a daily basis. And from there, it just took off. And the book, I feel like, is a expansion of what we do daily.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read that you also have a Girl Be Brave online community. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Certainly. Yeah, we have just an awesome group of ladies that interact in our online community, and they really They inspire me. We have a group. We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram. And they're all very involved. And I get letters weekly and daily even, and emails from women who tell me how Girl Be Brave, what it means to them. I get women who are dealing with divorce, death, disease, problems with their children, job loss, you name it. And they all write to me to tell me how much it supports them. Those words support them.
That's got to be really reassuring to get all those, you know, all that feedback. That's wonderful.
You know, it's very humbling. You know, we all go through things. We all have trials. We all have difficult days. We all have setbacks. We all go through moments that are painful. Sometimes those moments can be years that are painful. And that connects us. And I feel like that's what Girl Be Brave does, is it connects us to each other through our common need to be brave, especially in today's society. We have so many things coming at us all the time, and there's just a need for that bravery, and it binds us all together.
Well, Cheryl, there's so much content out there on the internet these days. How did you build this community? How did you find your tribe, and how did they find you?
That I'm not really sure. I think it was the content. Like I said, that joins us. As everything that I write in the book and all of the content that I put out is a direct reflection of my own personal life, things that I go through, things that I deal with. And so in a way, I'm really just sharing my own experience and sharing the things I would tell myself or I would tell my children. And I think people responded to that because we're really all not that different. We all go through the same kinds of things. Some are just horrific, and sometimes it's just that low level dissatisfaction and frustration with life, trying to raise children or work or all the things that we women take on. And I think it connects us to each other, and we found each other and it started to flourish. And I feel like the women who are online are really friends. I know about them. They know about me. And I see their cat. I know their cat's name. I mean, we're friends. We've gotten to know each other through all of this.
Well, the reason I said I have, my granddaughter fits this really well, is she is always amazes me with how brave she is in many ways. She's only 7, just turned 7, but she is fearless, that girl. Ever since she
That's
was
so
tiny,
fun.
I know, you know, jumping from high things and just, you know, she got bitten badly by a dog. Still has no fear of dogs. She's just...
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's just really... Whatever, she'd get hurt, she'd just like... One time I was with her and she fell and she cut her chin, and she was just spinning around, fell on the floor, cut her chin, had to go to the emergency room, get stitches. She comes home and she said, "That was just like a hospital. This is the best night ever."
Oh, my daughter Madison was like that. She, at 3 years old, would climb up into the high dive at the pool we were at and jump off of it with absolutely no fear. I would be too afraid to even climb up the ladder.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm still a little bit of, well, actually, I'm beyond the point where I would climb up the ladder, but even at the point where I would, I was had a lot of trepidation about it.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. So... Now, your mother, did she survive her illness?
She did. She is on her last year of medication, her daily chemo medication, and she is doing really, really well.
So is she part of this project with you?
She cheers me on from the sidelines, and she's a widow now, and she works part-time, so she cheers me on from the sidelines, but I think she enjoys her time to rest. She's raised her children, took care of her home and her husband and her pets, and so now she likes to spend her time in the garden with me. That's where I get it from.
Ah.
We have we live across the street from each other, and so we have a little spot that we have created, a garden.
Oh, great, great.
What I really like about it is the format that it's written in, because there's so much here. But okay, so there's a sentence, and then she has a word written in cursive, which pinpoints the thought of that sentence, and it's just amazing. I had, for every single chapter, I had a, you know, something that I marked, and I can't begin to tell you all the things, but it was just the way she wrote it made it so easy to read, and yet I didn't want to hurry because I wanted to get all of the wisdom out of it that I could. And it was, once again, the format is it's unusual, and it's really good. How did you come up with that format?
I think the writing is more, the cursive writing is to reflect the way that my grandmother's writing was in the back of that Bible. The logo for Girl Be Brave, I tried to mimic my grandmother's writing as much as possible because it was so powerful. You notice that it doesn't have the common, people would always ask me about that. My grandmother was not overly educated, and so she didn't have the comma in her writing. And I think she dropped out of school maybe in the eighth grade to go to work. And I wanted to reflect the truth of who she was. One of the things I've been so excited to do is we have started a Girl Be Brave scholarship fund, and this year we were able to give away 3 partial scholarships. And what was so interesting about that is that so many of the applicants, we just had so many, were women over 30 going back to school after a divorce.
Wonderful.
And that can take some bravery.
No doubt about it. I mean, they were just pouring their heart out to me. And I felt like if Frances had been educated, that would have changed her life, my mother's life, and it probably would have even trickled down to me and my daughter. But it was like so many women at the time, she dropped out of school to help take care of her family. That was very common, especially in the area. And I think now I want to honor her by helping other young people get educated.
Did you spend a lot of time around your grandmother growing when you were a child?
Oh, yes, she lived with us. Yes, she lived with us for a great many years. Even as an adult, I adored her. She was the most generous person I'd ever known. She's been gone 20 years now. And I feel like I am who I am because of her. She had a very, very hard life from the very beginning. And I never heard her complain. I never heard her feel sorry for herself. I'm sure she had those moments, but I wouldn't have known it. She was giving and kind and loving, and I just respected her so much. And I really didn't know a lot about her hardships until I was an adult.
You're listening to Writer's Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Cheryl Hale, author of Girl Be Brave, 100 Days to Chart Your Course, and founder of the GirlBeBrave.com website and the Girl Be Brave online community. Cheryl, I don't have the book in front of me because it's in Iowa with my mother, but I remember when I was reading it that I found a section that is like, oh, wait a minute, this is what I say all the time. What I tell people, and I'm an entrepreneur, I actually have a fairly substantial manufacturing business with 5 or 6 manufacturing locations. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And one of the things that I say as sort of one of my themes is, if it were easy, anyone could do it. And the problems are what make the opportunities.
Absolutely.
For you. And you had a page like that or something very similar to that, didn't you?
I believe so. I believe there's a similar content in here.
Yes.
I don't know which day it was.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember the day. Oh, my goodness. But it is true. If it were easy, everybody would do it. It's not easy. And that's what makes us grow, though, the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to persevere, learn, have a little grit.
And also, if it were easy, it wouldn't be all that rewarding.
Not at all. And being an entrepreneur, you know, there is one thing after another. It just happens that way because you're the responsible one. And it's a constant movement in overcoming obstacles and doing hard things and doing things maybe you're even afraid of.
You've said it. That's exactly. Cheryl, why don't you read a section? Just start with one of the days and read to us, and and then we'll talk about it a little bit, and then we'll go on to the next one.
Perfect. This is one of my favorites. Day 58, Let Go of Regret. Letting go of regret is the forgiveness we give to ourselves. Let's face it, no one is making it out of this life in the same pristine condition that they entered it. You and I have both made mistakes over the years. Some mistakes were major, some of them jaw-dropping. I'm speaking from experience on that one. As if the mistake alone wasn't enough to bring us down, we prolong its impact by keeping it alive long after the consequences have faded. We replay it faithfully, and in doing so, tear down our self-confidence with every outtake. Let go of regret. Forgive yourself. Be free. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone. No one has the right to judge you, so stop judging yourself and move on with your life. Regret is a heavy load. I hate that if-only feeling. The past can't be changed. Trust me, I've checked. All we can do is forgive ourselves for not being perfect and for not knowing everything all the time, and then release that burden.
Yeah, in that short passage, you see all the wisdom in there. It's amazing. I mean, for someone your age, that's amazing.
Do you have any notes on that page, Mom?
Well, I write the first thing. Letting go of regret is forgiveness we give to ourselves. And it's hard not to relive the things that you've done wrong in the past and think, oh, gosh, if only. But if you dwell on that, you can't move forward. And so many people do that, I think.
It destroys our confidence. We want to build ourselves up, but when we don't let go of that, we just tear ourselves down. And I feel like it just dampens our light. We all make mistakes. I mean, some of them have been huge, but it still shouldn't hang around for another 20 years. This is something I struggle with. I think being a mom and being just a woman in general, I can kind of beat myself up. I think, well, if I'd have just done this, or if I'd have just did this way, this wouldn't have happened, and it would have been better, and it would have saved all this trouble. But anybody can do that. I mean, that's all part of the learning process. We're going through there. We make mistakes, and we know, hey, you know what? I'm going to do that differently next time. And regret is not helping us.
Well,
not at all.
Plus, you don't actually know how things would have turned out if you'd done it a different way. There's an old Chinese folk tale about this that I can't remember exactly, but it has to do with, you know, things that you think are bad luck actually turn out to be good luck, or things that you think are going wrong actually turn out to have been a good thing. And it had to do with a farmer, and his son has a broken leg, which is bad luck, but then some enemies come and take all the young men off to war, but they don't take his son, so that's good luck. But then something else, it turns out to be bad luck, but it's really good luck, but it's really, you know. So it's a great story. And so that's the other thing, you know, you can beat yourself up, but you don't know. It might have been the best decision you could have made at the time. You really don't know.
No, you don't. You're absolutely right. I had an incident several years ago, maybe 6 or 7, where I broke my ankle. And so I couldn't drive. I was laid up for 7 weeks, which is horrible. But I look back now, I did so much soul searching during that time. Mm-hmm. I reorganized my life. I just made so many decisions. I was living in this crazy mode all the time, volunteering for everything, working all the time, 2 kids, and it gave me a chance to step back and really examine some things. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, I think now that kind of opened the door for me to be able to see Girl Be Brave.
Mm-hmm.
That time, because I had decided what I really wanted out of life. I put some things down. It's like, you know, I've done this. I've been the parent, teacher, whatever, for 7 years. Let somebody else have a turn. I'm going to take more time for me. I'm going to take more time for my family. I'm going to take more time to maybe even develop my business. And I think that injury really kind of set me up for the mindset that I would need to take this on.
Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to put this into book form? And how long did you spend working on the book?
Well, it had been tossing around in my brain a little bit. I really wanted to do a children's book. Girl Be Brave is really for women and females of all ages. It's really ageless. And I thought, well, I would like to do a children's book. I'm a huge collector of children's books. And so people were constantly asking me for more. They wanted more information, more content. They were like, oh, can you put your quotes in a book? Can you give us expanded? Can you tell me more? And so I found myself writing these long posts on social media, and I thought, huh, how about that? And then I had these words going over in my heart, Girl Be Brave, 100 Days. And I don't know why, but I felt like at 100 days, you can do a lot. You can change your life in 100 days. And I know that's a bold statement, but we can. We can change some things in 100 days. We can change our outlook for sure. And so I was approached by Abingdon Press to do a gift book, and I thought, well, that's perfect. I was so scared. I told her, I said, you know, I'm not a writer, right? And I'm just sharing information. I'm not really a writer. And I was so scared. I was terrified. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's also been the most rewarding. And it took me probably about, because it was during the Christmas season, it probably took me a few months, 4 months to get it all together. But like I said, it was a difficult thing to do, but it was a worthwhile thing to do.
So you had a publisher approach you.
Yes, and I know that's not very common.
No, it's
and
not.
I was 45 years old, and I thought, here I am at 45 years old, an entirely new career path. And I told my husband I was so scared. I have a retail shop, so it came around Christmas time, which is my busiest season. And I thought, but this is a lifetime opportunity. I have to do this. I have to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't consider myself a writer, but I'm going to do it. And I was so grateful to them for that. And I thought, wow, they helped me develop my confidence and really kind of patted me on the back when I needed it, or a little comforting, a little soothing, or I was having a meltdown about my abilities. But here we are, and it was worthwhile, and it's been my heart is in those pages. I just poured myself into it. I tried not to hold back anything. I tried to just pour it all in there. And I think it connected with people because they go through the same types of things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you don't even realize it. You don't realize you're going through these things until you read it, like in this book, you know, some of these things. Yeah. I mean, I'm 84
years old. That's
true. There are things you know, a lot of things. I've got a lot of things in here that I've done.
It's true. We're so busy and we're so bombarded with information. And so that's what I mean. I was like on autopilot before I broke my leg. I was just doing the things, whatever the things were. I was just doing them like a crazy person in a panic all the time. And when I broke my leg, it gave me a minute to reflect because I couldn't do all those things. And that really set me up to say, you know, I want to go deeper in life. I want my life to have more meaning. Not that all the volunteering, it was great, but I think I was burnt out. I'd done it for so long. And I wanted my life to have more meaning. I wanted it to mean something, all of the work and all of the time and energy. And so it wasn't long after that, just maybe 2 years, 3 years, that we developed Girl Be Brave. And then I don't know how they found me. I think it was social media.
Wow. You know, you often hear when people are facing a life-threatening illness that they change their life because they realize what's a priority and what's not, and it has a major impact. So you were actually very fortunate to have that experience without having to have the life-threatening illness.
Absolutely, because I was stranded. I mean, I couldn't drive. I couldn't walk. I had crutches for 7 weeks, and it just gave me that moment. I couldn't even go to carpool, so it just gave me some time to look at my life at a less hurried pace, mm-hmm. and know that it was time for a change, that I was doing things that were meaningful for other people, but it was time for me to do things that were more meaningful for me and my presence, my time here on earth. And my dad died at a relatively young age, you know, by today's standard. He was in his 50s when he passed away, and my dad always had all these dreams, and I watched him be so busy and work so hard and say, oh, well, one day, and I knew after my time with a broken ankle that I wanted my one day to be now, because we're not guaranteed time.
You know, Cheryl, it's interesting because my father, you know, died very young at 49, but he actually departed from the normal path that he was on and would have expected to take to try and follow his dreams. And he actually got to do a lot of things that many people like your father would have pushed off until a later time. Wouldn't you say, Mom, that was true?
Oh, yeah. 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 He you know, he had so many talents, and he was able to use a lot of them.
was an artist, and he was really into sustainable agriculture. And so, I mean, when I was in high school, he went down to part-time. He was a civil engineer, went down to part-time at work so that he could work on his art and some theater projects that he had, and his he had bought a farm to eventually live off the land and to work on that. And, you know, most people, he had five kids at home. Five kids, but
wow.
He cut back on working to follow his dreams. And I often thought, well, maybe on some level he knew he didn't have that much time. You know, obviously not consciously, but he was very fortunate that he did do those things at a young age, younger age than a lot of people might have.
Absolutely. We're not promised time. Some days we feel invincible, and some days I feel like I've got another 50 years already on me, but it's so important. You know, I do. Somebody's like, wow, why does that hurt?
I don't understand what I did.
The other day I was talking to one of my girls in the shop, and I just turned my neck in a funny way, I guess, and I thought, I just hurt myself. How did I hurt myself just turning to look to the other side? I don't know how I did that. But I think it's so important to take those opportunities that come to us. And I think if we're open to it, they do. They might be small. They might not look like an opportunity. They might look like a struggle. They might look like a difficulty. But they're opportunities, just as you said. And if we're open to it, we can find ways to fulfill our purpose and live out those things we have in our heart. It doesn't have to be this huge, dramatic thing. It can be in small ways. Like you say, you know, theater projects and art. I think art's a powerful thing. I'm an artist, too. And I mean, making time for those things and making moments that matter with your dreams and in your purpose.
You're listening to Writer's Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Cheryl Hale, author of Girl Be Brave, 100 Days to Chart Your Course.
We are going to head to Texas during Thanksgiving to go. I'm going to drive around some areas and go into Barnes & Nobles and the Sam Clubs and sign some books.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool. Which parts of Texas are you coming to?
I'm thinking so far we're going to do Dallas, Houston, Austin, and Fort Worth, maybe.
Okay.
This is my first year that my children are not with me for Thanksgiving. They are with their significant others. They're both in college going to their families for Thanksgiving. So I told my husband, if I stay here on Thanksgiving by myself, all I'm going to do is be sad and cry. I'm going to be crying in my turkey. You know, I'm just not ready. So let's take a road trip. And so we're just going to have an old-fashioned road trip, just the two of us, and just go see what we find. Maybe we'll turn up some adventure, but I'm so excited about it. So you said you were in Texas. So
I am. I'm in Austin.
We'll see. I'll be there next week.
Yeah, and I'm having Thanksgiving with my two children and my son's whole family, and but for the first time ever, we are going out for Thanksgiving.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
At least there's no cleanup.
That exactly.
So
much less work.
Yeah.
And the whole, it's not that I actually enjoy making the turkey and everything, and we have this whole, you know, this is a very traditional, complete Thanksgiving menu, but my grandkids don't actually like it. <That's> it. And they don't really like turkey and mashed potatoes, and I guess there's some things they'll eat, but a lot of it they just aren't interested in. But the kicker is that my daughter, who has, you know, always helps me, you know, she's an adult, she's in her 30s, and she says she doesn't want to help. And I said, well, I'll do it myself. She goes, yeah, but if I'm there, I'll end up helping. And she didn't want to. So we decided we'd go out. And we're going to put in a plug here for the Paul Martin Grill at the Domain, which has a complete traditional Thanksgiving buffet.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That
so
sounds awesome.
It does. So maybe I'll see you there.
Maybe so. That's what we said. We'll just find us a hotel buffet somewhere and we'll live it up.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. We haven't taken a road trip together in probably, I can't remember when. So it'll be a good time for us too.
Great. Cheryl,
you need to do that.
Why don't you read a couple more sections for us?
Sure.
A couple more days.
I'd love to. Let me get my glasses on. I can't see anything without them now. I don't know what's happened about that, but
That's life, my dear. That's life.
I know. I'm thinking, I can't see that. You're trying to blind me? I can't see that. Okay, this is day 47, and I believe this in my core, and this is something I've told myself. I tell my children. I've even told my husband. No one gets to tell you. No one has the power to decide who you are going to be in this life. The good news is you get to choose. Yes, you do. You choose daily, minute by minute. Even your smallest choices are shaping and creating your life in the now and for the future. Don't allow yourself to be pigeonholed by your past or how others view you. As you try to make positive changes and advance your life, you'll encounter people who are chained to their old perspective of you. They can't embrace your newfound you-ness. Don't let anyone else's outdated mindset keep you from living out the fullness of who you hope to become. No matter where you come from, what you've done, how little or how much education you've received, nobody gets to decide who you are. You are completely under your own design. Allowing other people's ideas to form the narrative of your life is a disservice to your purpose. Take advantage of the power you've been given to decide what you want to be and how you want to live.
Amen.
Cheryl, that's another one that fits right in with something that I've always or have long held as a truth for myself and have talked about in speeches and so forth. And that is that every day you as an adult, once you get to be an adult, every day you choose what you're going to do that day. And you may think that you have to do this, you have to do that, but you're actually choosing to do it. And if you're, to me, success and happiness is actually being able to choose and liking what your choice is. And I never wanted to admit to being unhappy because I never was, but I've never really been unhappy because to me, happiness is success because you're choosing what you do. And so you're happy because it's your choice. I know it's a little confusing. I'm not expressing it as well as you, but.
Oh no, I totally agree with you. And I think too, in our society, we really like labels.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. We label people and we try to, I think it's just a natural compartmentalization maybe. People try to label this person or that person or pigeonhole them in some way and put them in a category, I guess, so they can identify them more clearly. And I think it's important. I've always told my children to not let anybody pigeonhole you. If, my son was a football player in his high school, but he also likes to play the guitar and write music. And I tell him, you don't have to be pigeonholed by anything. You can do anything you want to do. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. You get to choose. If you want to learn to play the guitar, well, then you get to do that. You don't need to be pigeonholed by, oh, I'm this athlete. I don't write music. I don't write songs. I don't do things like that. No, you get to be yourself in your entirety. You're the one. Nobody gets to tell you who you're going to be. Nobody. They don't get to tell you how you are going to live your life, how you're going to design your life. Like you said, we are choosing every moment. Even
yes.
When we realize we're not choosing, we're choosing.
Exactly. And you may have circumstances that make you miserable, but you actually have a choice to change your circumstances, to leave a situation. And sometimes the choices don't look very good either. But the other thing that I say about that is that there's almost no decision that you make that's irreversible. So sometimes
absolutely.
You just go for something. You make a choice. You make a decision. You do it. Don't spend a lot of time, what's going to happen? Is it going to this? Is it going to that? You don't know till you do it. But you can always, almost always unwrap things. There's a couple things you can't really unravel. One is having children. You can't take that back.
No, that's true.
Yeah. And there's a couple others, but most things are reversible.
They are. And I think it's important to, even for young people, even at my age and anybody's age, to experiment with new things. We're all still, I believe, as long as we're on this earth, we're on a journey of self-discovery. I think as long as we're on this earth, we have purpose. And that purpose changes. I'm not a daily mom anymore. I miss it terribly, but I still have purpose and I'm still a mom. And I have new purposes that are coming into my life now that I think, that I have more free time. And it's coming at just the right time. So I think we're constantly developing and peeling back the layers and unearthing our potential every day as long as we're here.
Well, just wait until you have grandkids, then the fun begins.
That's what I've been told. That's what I've been told. I'm looking forward to it. Not any time in the next couple of years, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's a saying that's on a plaque. It says, let's see, I don't think I could love my grandchildren any more than I do, and then tomorrow comes.
That's right.
So speaking of grandchildren, I've been coaching my grandson this week because he told me he wants to start a company, and he and a couple of his friends. And
that's awesome.
I know. He's 10 years old, just turned 10. And he's working on a book, which will be the first product of this company, a graphic novel. But he has to learn how to draw on the computer because right now he's just drawing on paper. But we got to learn how to self-publish, print on demand. And he's really excited about this. His long-term goal is to be a movie producer. He's pretty set on that. Movie director. But
that's pretty awesome, though.
I know it is. But they're starting out with a book with these characters that are called Adventure Raptors. And he's actually got another character that's kind of comic relief who's called Random Guy. But so there's Adventure Raptors and Random Guy. But then he wants to make merch, which I guess is what they call merchandise now. Merch that's related to the book. And I'm looking at your website and I'm looking at all your very cool merch. So how'd you go about developing all this? You've got Girl Be Brave water bottles and Girl Be Brave pillow and Girl Be Brave jewelry and stuffed animals and clothing and journal. So tell me a little bit about the process that you did to develop all of this.
Yeah, there is a learning curve there. trust me on that. I've made some mistakes. We were talking about those earlier. I tried to get items that I thought I would like to use, and I'm an interior designer, so I like stuff. I like pretty stuff. So, everybody likes pretty. And I just went through there and started picking a few items here and there to start to develop. I was very nervous. Being in manufacturing, things are very expensive to have things made.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest lesson I learned, my first item were the notebooks, the journals. Well, I had the design made, the logo, and that's based off of a painting I did. And I sent it off to the company, and they sent me back a mock-up. Well, I have a problem with assuming things, that it's getting better now that I have this company. I looked at the mock-up, and I thought, oh, we already talked about this. I'm sure that they know it's not supposed to look like that. And so I let them go forward. So when the product arrives, I have 1,000 journals that are completely wrong. The front cover had been cut in half, and they're not sellable. So I had to put all of these journals. They're in my closet upstairs in my guest room now, and I will be using them until the day I die. And they're not usable. So I learned a lesson. Never assume anything. Check and double check. Just make sure you're communicating clearly. Just things like that. But that was a doozy. I can't tell you how much money and time I invested in unsellable merchandise. So that was a learning curve there. And all of the items that we have, Girl Be Brave is trademarked. So I'm trying to protect it there. And that was a process of learning how the ins and outs of trademarking and things like that. So it's just been a course in learning. I'm learning every day. Every product we put out, I learn something else that I didn't know. And I heard a horror story once of a local lady here who was having something imported, and she didn't check the tariffs. And so when they got the bill, it was like $30,000.
Yes.
Talk about a learning curve.
Yeah.
So, we're taking it one step at a time. I learn a lot with each new product development. I really enjoy bringing it together. That part's a lot of fun. Watching new things come out, and I've learned a lot for sure. It's been a process. I didn't jump in knowing exactly what I was doing.
Well,
I just looked at my mom in the kitchen, and I said, we're going to do it, and that was it.
And you do have some beautiful, beautiful products here. Tell me a little bit about this Girl Be Brave Harmony Angels.
Oh, those are angels that I paint. They're oil paintings. They're all different. They're all original. I'm going to paint anyway, so I thought I might as well share them with somebody, because if not, they're just going to stack up everywhere. And we do. We sell a lot of those in the shop, too. And those are very special to me. We call those Girl Be Brave Angels. Mm-hmm. And people really seem to identify with those. And in the shop last holiday season, I had the sweetest lady come in. She was probably in her late 60s, and her adult daughter had passed away. And so she killed by a drunk driver, and she left children behind. So she said when she saw one of those angels, she could see her daughter. Mm-hmm. And so we all cried and loved and hugged, and she took it with her as a reminder. She said, well, every time she saw it, she would say, this looks like her to me. I feel wow. her. And so I've had some really intimate moments with people via connection with the artwork.
Oh. Well, do you have another page, another day you'd like to share with us?
Certainly. This one is day 26, Begin Again. You may experience a time when you are forced to bury something that was meaningful to you and start over, whether it's the loss of a marriage, a relationship, or a job. These times can leave you reeling with feelings of confusion, grief, and a hefty dose of the what-ifs. In the face of uncertainty, you will have to dig deep inside yourself and summon up your biggest brave. You'll need to go all in. Don't get stalled while looking for the answer to the question why. You may never know. Focus on your new beginning. See it as an opportunity to create something new and beautiful in your life. It may be different from the one you had, but it can still be good. You will find happiness again. As long as you are alive, there is hope. You can still fulfill your life's purpose. That goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago about as long as you're alive, there's hope. There's still purpose. As long as you're breathing, there's still purpose down inside of you to impact change, to affect others' lives.
And you never know what impact you might be having on others' lives.
Absolutely not. Yeah. You never know. Sometimes just a simple act of kindness can do wonders. Just sharing a moment with somebody. Because I know I've experienced that myself. When I'm having just maybe one of the worst days of my life ever, and some random kindness from maybe the lady inside the post office who comforts me or says hi or compliments me or says, hey, that's awesome what you're doing. So I think that connects us all.
Yeah.
I've always thought that.
One of the most heartwarming things for me, I've had this happen several times over the years, where someone will come to me, someone that I knew like many years ago that I run into, or in some cases they actually reach out to me and say, do you remember when you did this and it made so much difference to me? And sometimes I don't even remember it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I remember even after my dad died, taking my kids out to go eat something that I don't think I'd cooked in days. And we had just left the funeral, and how this sweet lady, she didn't know where we had been. She just made eye contact with me. It's like she could see it.
Mm.
It's like she knew. And she connected with me and gave me the biggest smile. And there was compassion. And so it's like, oh, and I have a write-up a little bit about that in the book about I've been through some things the past few years myself with my children becoming an empty nester I wasn't prepared for. And it's like when you go through those things and you see somebody else, you can see their pain because you can see your pain.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes us more empathetic and sympathetic. It humbles, humbling to become an empty nester and to feel that loss and to feel that grasping. But now I can see that in other people as well. And I can share that with them in a way that hopefully lifts us both up. And it's usually just the simplest things, a smile, a kind face, a kind word. It really, those things matter. They have a ripple effect and they really do matter to people. I mean, they matter to me. That's how
yeah.
I know it matters
oh,
to
yeah.
them as well.
I know. And Mom, you have I remember you telling me some stories about things that happened when you were a high school teacher where people have come back to you years later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The one I'll never forget. I used to put every day on the board, and this is my English class, a sentence that was incorrect. And then we corrected it because a lot of my students what they heard at home was, well, we've done this, we've done that, you know, stuff like that. And so I ran into this kid in the I think it was out at Hy-Vee at the grocery store, and he spoke to me, and I knew where he sat, but I couldn't remember his name, you know. And but he said, you know, he said, I'm down at Southeastern Community College now, and he said, those grammar lessons that you gave us, he said, they were the best, because now I know what they're talking about down here. And I thought, oh, thank you. You know, that was
that's
the
awesome.
Best thing he could have said to me. Yeah.
I know. That's awesome.
It is. I was so grateful that he said that to me, you know. He didn't have to say that. That was just great.
You're listening to Writers' Voices with Monica and Caroline, and our guest today is Cheryl Hale, author of Girl Be Brave, 100 Days to Chart Your Course. So Cheryl, I have some questions about your writing process with this book.
Okay.
Did you, first of all, I know that you had done social media blog posts and also your website blog. Did you convert some of that content for this book, or did you start totally from scratch with the book?
Well, I tried to take some of the more, the quotes that I had gotten such powerful feedback and expand on those. So the content is very similar, but it really takes it to another level. Instead of, you know, 7 or 8 words, it goes into a full page. And that, it's just a lot more depth to it. But the content, the themes are the same. Bravery, overcoming hard things. All the content, the themes are the same. It's just an expanded version. It's a deeper level.
So you knew from the beginning that you were doing 100 quotes. And did you gather the 100 quotes first and then expand on them? Or did you do, okay, I'm going to do this one, I'm going to write this now. Okay, what's my next quote? Okay, I'm going to do this one, write this.
Oh, gosh, I wish I were that organized and professional. I am not. I am so not. There was a lot of prayer and a lot of tears and a lot of overcoming fear and things that I thought about myself that, in retrospect, were not true. And so this book really is kind of a daily journal session for me. Take it that way, that I would take what's going on in my heart and in my life and share it. Like I said, I was going through a lot with my children, being an empty nester, having this new career, just that, wow, kind of overwhelmed, those moments of just overwhelm. So I tried to take what I go through and share it with other people. And I don't want that to sound selfish, but it's just, I feel if I'm going through it, somebody else is too.
Of course. And now, as you got further along, you know, maybe you'd written 60, paid 60 of them. Did you start, or 70 or 80, did you start having trouble coming up with something unique?
I kept thinking that I would, but thankfully my life was providing me enough emotional content that I could keep going because I found no shortage. Okay, I found no shortage at all. And so I always thought it's going to run out, and I still worry about that. Even now, as I create daily content, I still worry, oh my gosh, am I dried up? Was that all of it? But what I've found, just like with painting and any creativity, the more you use it, the more it comes to you. It's like developing a muscle, I guess. And I still worry about running out of things to say, and maybe one day I will, I don't know. But I just try to share what's going on with me. And like I said, I have a lot of emotional content, so I think I have a little bit left.
So you are still putting out daily content?
Yes, I do. Usually daily. Sometimes we'll miss a day here or there for travel reasons or things like that. But I do try to put out daily content.
And where would people find that if they were looking, if they wanted to find it?
They can check our site. Our Instagram feed runs through our site, and we have some of the quotes on there as well. And we do that on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Mm. We also, on the site, have where you can go, and they're free. You can go to where we have this, I forget what they're called, screensavers, your phone wallpapers, so many different words, lock screens. And you can go to the site on your phone and click it, and it's shaped and formatted to fit your phone, if you want to use that as your screensaver.
Oh, cool. Now, I see something on here on your site about a Girl Be Brave song.
Yes, that is a cousin of mine. He is We met through Ancestry. We are third cousins, and he wrote a song for Girl Be Brave. He has a daughter, Emma, and he just loved it so much that he's like, hey, I've got something for you. And I put it on there because I thought it was so sweet, and his daughter is so sweet, and she, yeah, we like to keep in touch.
Mm-hmm. So as you were, did you have a deadline with the publisher for this book?
I did. I did not meet that deadline. As I have a retail, I did not. They were very gracious with me. I have a retail space, and it was due around Christmas time. And unfortunately, and I've heard this kind of thing happens a lot, my manager quit unexpectedly right before Thanksgiving, which is taking me into my busiest time. So I was scrambling to get my retail space, keeping it going without a manager and running people and the products and everything like that and meeting my deadline. But I did get it done right after that. I hunkered down and knocked it out. But no, I did not meet the deadline.
And how much editing did they do?
Not a lot. A lot of it was more coaching for me, not so much editing. Like, they would say things to me along the lines of, oh, did you know that you used this word like four times in that one writing? And I'm like, and I would look at it and go, oh my gosh, I do use that word like four times. Things like that would bring it to my attention of, you just said that word like four times in one paragraph. You might want to use a different word. That was really helpful for me. I mean, that helped me out a lot because I was like, gosh, just things you're on autopilot and it's coming from this place in your heart and your mind and you don't realize, hey, I just said that four times.
So was the process that once you had the whole manuscript, you turned it over to them, or were you sending in like 10 pages worth at a time?
Yeah, I was sending in about 20 entries at a time.
Okay.
And then working with those, and it was a lot. It was a process. It was new for me. I didn't understand how everything worked, but it was so helpful to have the coaches and the editors and people kind of guide me through the process and help me really learn to communicate a little bit better and express myself more clearly. Ask me questions like, what did I mean with the sentence? And I'm thinking, that's a very good question. I wouldn't know what I meant either if I just looked at it. So, like I said, assuming. And helping me develop my skills. So that was very helpful.
And now the book is very beautiful. How involved were you in the design? You said you're an interior designer. That's not the same as a book designer. But were you involved in that part of it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The front cover, one day after, it was not long after Christmas when we had read the letter, I was upstairs in my house painting, and this is my favorite color, and I had painted this color, and then I had gold paint, and I did a circle. Those are my actual brush strokes on the front. That was created with some app from a friend of mine. Those are my brush strokes, the way it looked. And then I wrote, Girl, Be Brave, inside the circle, and I was looking at it. And I thought, that's it. It's my favorite color. It's writing. And so I knew I wanted the book to look like this. I wanted it to be our color with the gold. I wanted to have that brushstroke logo. So, yes, I was involved in that for sure.
Now, how about the photographs in the book?
The ones of my family are from me, but I did not take the other photos, no. There's a photo credit list in the back of who took those photos, but those were included. It was the inspiration because I had these old photos of my grandmother, my great-grandmother. I had photos from my great-great-great-grandmother back in the 1800s, and so I wanted to share those, photos of those strong women, and so that was what inspired the idea to have the other photos included, black and white photos of strong women.
And did you choose the photos yourself?
No, I did not. Okay. I had input, but I did not choose them.
Okay. And then there's a lot of graphic design elements inside, too. Like I'm looking at day two, and there's these little, it's your favorite color in the background, but little, like, lines.
I had a lot of input with those, and that kind of reminds me of some of our daily motivational content. I put out quote graphics is what I call them. So I'm always trying to make them cute or pretty or colorful, mm-hmm. happy, and so that's what inspired that.
Okay. Very cool. But you didn't have to do it all yourself.
Oh gosh, no. I don't think they want me to do that.
Oh, it would have been so, it would take forever, wouldn't it? But
It
because,
would, it would. It takes a long time.
so really this
So they're
is,
like, I,
the book has the quote, beautiful quotes, but it also is very artistic.
yeah.
I think that comes too with, yeah, with the colors and the designs. Like I said, I really like pretty things. And it is an expression, and I thought, this color is my favorite color. I could eat it. It's been my favorite color my entire life. And I thought, that's the most authentic way I know how to communicate myself. It's this cover. This is me. This is how I feel. It's
Yeah.
colorful. It's bright. I want it to shine and stand out. And I want people to, when they look at it, to have that little, ooh, I like that. I don't know why, but I like that. I feel like that color has a lot of positive energy to it. I don't know how to explain that, but.
Cheryl, we're almost out of time. Do you have a favorite quote from this book?
A favorite one. I have a favorite reading.
Okay.
I do, and it's Hard Things Make You Beautiful.
Mm.
This is it. Yes, you heard that right. I believe it. When we go through difficult times, we grow. As we grow, we are humbled. The more humbled we are, the more human connections we create. The ability to connect with others on this level makes you beautiful because human connection is beautiful. We learn from a young age to run away from hard stuff. We learn to avoid pain. But the problem with living to avoid pain is that it keeps you from living fully. How many times have we avoided pain by binging on a half gallon of ice cream? Maybe instead of gorging ourselves on instant pleasures, we should press into the pain and be present in those difficult situations. We learn what we can and we grow through it. I've often found that on the other side of those hard times, I'm more aware and more empathetic. Others are going through the same types of pain. At least now I can see theirs because I also see mine. I also see me. So I really believe that through the years, you know, just grow. You just as adults, you go through so many things, and each thing I just get more and more humbled by, and in a good way, you know, in a wonderful way. But in that, I'm able to see other people's pain. I can see that they too are human. They have needs, and that kindness matters. Words matter. And so I feel like those hard things we go through are really designed to help us be the best version of ourselves and to connect with others.
Well, we're out of time, and I want to thank you, Cheryl, for being with us today. And Mom, do you, I know you have a good takeaway for us
Well,
here.
it continues from hers, actually. Kindness is easy to share. It's free and comes back to you in abundance. This was on day 78. You can change the world. Be kind.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you all so much for having me.
Well, thank you for being with us, and see you all next week on Writer's Voices.
Bye-bye. Thank you.